Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which we consider this morning, is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the first chapter, the 21st through the 24th verses. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Last week, I had to inform a couple of my classes that I was going to be absent yesterday, Tuesday, in order to attend a board meeting for our church, and that I am chairman of that board because I'm the youngest person on the board. Well, that was greeted then, too, with some unexpected laughter, and probably got more looks of puzzlement when I announced that when I was appointed to that board 5 years ago, I brought the average age of the board down to 78. Then on the chaplain called me on Sunday evening, and he asked me if I would preach today, and this text that we have read is the one that he asked me to address: to live is Christ and to die is gain. But then on top of that, on Monday morning, a student came into my office and asked if she could interview me. And when I asked what class this was for, she told me that it was for the class Aging and Society. Now, I'm a little uncertain about the message that I'm supposed to draw from all of this. However, the questions that the interviewer asked me were exactly the questions that one must ask if one is trying to understand this text from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Questions like, what are your thoughts about death? I've had some experience with that. What things would you change in your life if you could do it over again? And what things are there yet that you would like to do in your life? Well, those are the questions that in many ways are behind what St. Paul is talking about in this text. We all have to think about death from time to time. Those of us who are older, perhaps, a little bit more often, and maybe even a little bit more immediately. But whether it's the death of an older person in your life, or if it's the death of one of your contemporaries, the thought does force itself into your consciousness from time to time. And all of us, I think, have experienced that. But when we do have to think about death, then, isn't it with some mixed emotions? It doesn't really make a lot of difference if you are 18 or 45 or 67 or 77. It's easy to give some pious answers about how a Christian is always ready and eager to die and go to be with Christ and all the saints of heaven. Although that can take a slightly different form when one comes face to face with death. Good Christian people do express fears in the face of death. I've heard it many times as I've been by the deathbed of congregation members and family members. A little over 20 years ago, I sat at the bedside of my 78-year-old mother as she lay dying of cancer, and I asked her, "Are you afraid to die?" And she said, "No, I'm just afraid of the pain." But it's not only about the fears. that one might have. It's about the things that we would like to do yet, or that we have yet to do. All of us, certainly Christians, have reasons, and a lot of reasons, to be conflicted about dying. The undone things left in this life. Who will take care of my aged parents, or my wife, or my husband, or my children? Or who's going to finish my work? And yet, at the same time, we hear that gracious promise from our Lord, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. But there is much here yet to do. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep, Robert Frost said. We have all of those things to do, to have children, raise a family, care for the ill and the unloved in this world, to make the world a place where the gospel can be preached to all, and to live in peace with our neighbors throughout the world, and to tell others the news of their salvation. And so we're conflicted, torn between two things, hard pressed, Paul says. Which I should choose, I just don't know. Surprising words to come from the apostle. But was that such a horrible thought on Paul's part? Certainly not. This is Paul, the Christian, the servant of Christ, one-time persecutor, human being, the one who says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And now he says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." You have to remember that St. Paul is in chains, a prisoner, likely facing death. So what should he think of this? He understands that even some of his guards have come to faith through the testimony of the gospel, but he says, "I don't know how this is going to turn out for me. I just know that in life or in death, Christ will be magnified." Now, what Paul is writing to us in this wonderful text says just as much about how the Christian is to face life as about how he is to face death. Paul reminds us that the life of the redeemed child of God in this world is to live as Christ toward our fellow Christians and our neighbors, in word and in act. This life of faith is plain to see in Paul's writing here, that he lives and dies under the shadow of Christ's wings, covered over by the righteousness of Christ as Savior. Not only by our Lord's suffering and death, but also by his life. Our Lord sustains our lives in this world according to his purpose and not our own. He calls us to his kingdom according to his purposes, not our own. And so even when we fall into despair, when we wonder whether or not it is necessary for life to go on, as Paul surely may have been thinking as he faced prison and death, then we are reminded that our life is Christ. Christ accomplishing his purposes even in lives that we might think are futile, insignificant, or meaningless. And so we live by his promises. Whether you're 18 with 40, 50, 60, 70 years ahead of you, or whether you're 50, 60, or 70 with a year or 10 or 20 or 30 ahead of you. You live under his purposes and under his promises and under his gracious care and keeping. To live is Christ, to die is gain. To him alone, the Lord of life, be the glory. Amen.